Turn, please, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 27. Book of Proverbs chapter 27. My message will be a textual message. We will think of and pursue some thoughts within our text, but then we will also go elsewhere. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Scripture says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." If you should consider certain segments of our society, you would find a number of people who think that they can tell you about tomorrow, whether by the use of cards or the stars or some spirit's help. Some of these folk are convinced that they can predict the future. The horoscope pretends to tell you about the day which lays ahead of you. The prognosticator, the palm reader, the psychic is supposed to help you with your immediate future. Others simply have visions or hear voices. Well, certainly by the use of common sense, we can predict the events of tomorrow, but we could not guarantee them. Even if there was an intention to make it happen ourselves, we could not guarantee each event, for we may pass in the night. Patterns of behavior may give us a clue as to what might occur, but it's not a given. Weather persons, with all of their technology, cannot truly and with certainty forecast the weather. And the truth of our text rings loud and clear. We are not able to speak of the future with absolute authority, unless, of course, we speak that which the sovereign authority has revealed. For God and God alone knows the end from the beginning. Only God can accurately tell of future events. And the words of his mouth, as we might say, is like money in the bank. Therefore, God's prophetic words will, without a doubt, come to pass. But our own prognostications should be doubted. I'd like to speak to you today what I've entitled, "What Can We Know About Tomorrow?" What can we know about tomorrow? Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house and those who are able to be with us today. And Lord, we know that some could not be here due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless the sick and heal them, raise them up, and those that are traveling, keep them safe, and others who are hindered, that you would just guide them. And Lord, just draw us unto you that we might worship you in spirit and in truth today. And for those who are here, Lord, give us attentive hearts and hearing ears. And Lord, just lead by your Spirit. Help us to learn and help us to grow and help us to be the kind of people we ought to be for your name's sake. And God, we pray for your grace and mercy. And we pray if there's any in our midst that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. Grant unto them repentance and faith that they'd be saved even today. Lord, we'll give you the honor and the glory. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we praise you, and we ask that you bless our time together, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So from this text, I pose the question, what can we know about tomorrow? Now, it is my intention to consider this topic from a dual perspective. First, I shall discuss the text along with some ramifications, and in this section, we will readily see that we cannot know for sure about the events of tomorrow. And second, I shall discuss some revealed truth for which we will concede that without a hint of doubt, it shall remain truth even on the morrow. And so what can we know about tomorrow? First of all, I want us to think about the text. Look at it once again. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." What we do not know about tomorrow. Number one, we cannot speak about ourselves for tomorrow, for we do not even know about the remainder of today. When we read this passage and it says, "Don't boast of tomorrow, for we don't know what a day may bring forth," I believe the main emphasis is we don't know about the rest of this day. So how can we talk about tomorrow? And we can make our plans. I understand that. And we can discuss and we can give a hint and an idea and we might have a good concept of what we might do on the morrow. But we can't boast of it because we just really don't know what's going to happen today. We don't know how it's going to unfold. We don't know if we will have the health. We don't know if we'll have the ability. We don't know that we'll even have life for tomorrow. And so we can't really speak about tomorrow. So I might ask you and say, hey, what do you got going for tomorrow? And you can tell me, well, these are my plans. This is what I intend to do. But you cannot stand and say, without a shadow of a doubt, this is what I'm doing no matter what. Because you just don't know. There is no guarantee. Now, as we think about that, number two, the same uncertainty of today is true of tomorrow. Therefore, we cannot speak assuredly of tomorrow. Not only is it I don't know the events of today, but I don't know the events of tomorrow. So if I tell you that, hey, tomorrow night, I believe Chad has a soccer game, I'm going to get in the car, we're going to go out, we're going to watch the soccer game, and he's going to play this soccer game, that's what's going to happen. Well, one, I may not live the rest of the day, or I may not have the health, or the cars might break down, or whatever. I might not make it, but let's say I do. Let's say I make it through today. Tomorrow is still another day, and I don't know the events of tomorrow either. And so, if it's games in the afternoon, hey, I might drop dead at 2 o'clock. I'm not going to make his game if I do. And hopefully he won't either. If I drop dead, he might forgo a game for me. But you get the idea. If we don't know the events of today, we don't know the events of tomorrow. And so the uncertainty always keeps us in doubt about these things. You know, the New Testament speaks about this, and I invite you to turn to James chapter 4. In the book of James chapter 4, there's a few references here, verses that we want to refer you to, and it's in verse 13 down through verse 16. James 4, verse 13 through verse 16. So we're thinking about what can we know about tomorrow. Well, what does James tell us? James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You get the idea as you go back to the text. In Proverbs chapter 27, then you can glance at that again. It talks about the matter of boastings. James talked about boasting. We cannot boast. And so if you say, well, this is my plan. This summer, what we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going on vacation. We're going to this particular spot. We're going to spend so much time there. Well, you can make plans and you can get with a travel agent and you can sign on a dotted line and you can pay the money and you can have it all lined up and take vacation time from work and have everything ready. But you do not know for certainty that you'll take that trip. And you can't boast, yes, I will. You don't know that, do you? Why? Because you don't know about today and you do not know about tomorrow. So what we learn is that we can speak of tomorrow, but we are only venturing a guess when it comes to the actual occurrence. You're just guessing because you don't know for sure. We have services planned for this evening, and the time is at 6 o'clock. I plan to be here. Lord willing, I will be, but I do not know that for sure. Many things could hinder that. And so as you make your plans, you can talk about tomorrow, and I could ask you after the service, hey, what's going on for tomorrow, and you can tell me. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not saying that's evil. Now, if you boast in it, that's evil. But I can ask you about your vacation plans. You can tell me that. By God's grace, I'll be at the soccer game tomorrow, but I have no guarantee for that. Wednesday night, I plan to be here, but I have no guarantee for that. And so on it goes. You well understand the concept. What can we know about tomorrow? Well, we can have some idea, but we just can't guarantee it, can we? And what we're told as we go through these passages, not only in our text, but also the reference in James chapter 4, we're told that we are not to boast about future events. James told us to say that if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. And I would highly recommend you to pick that up. Make that a part of your thinking. Make that a part of your speech, dear Christian friend. That when you make plans, when you decide to do things and you're going to just nail that thing down, you have to say and believe it in your heart. If the Lord will, then we will live. If the Lord will, I will do this. If the Lord will, I will do that. If God wills, make God a priority in your life. And understand that you don't know about today. You don't know about tomorrow. And so if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, I want to offer you some areas of concern of which uncertainty should cause a personal reflection. And so as I list these things, just think about it in your own personal perspective and reflect upon it for a second. What about today? What about tomorrow? As I've mentioned about some events that I may or may not do, it depends whether or not I'm alive. And so, first of all, I'd submit unto you life itself. Do you really have a guarantee you'll be alive tomorrow? Do you know for a fact that you'll be here tomorrow? You don't know that. I don't know that. I don't know that I will live today. I don't know that I will live tomorrow. I know I'm a young man, but I could die of a heart attack. I could have a stroke and that'd be it. I could be killed in a car wreck. I could become a victim of crime. There are many things that can take me out of this place. And so I don't really know. Life itself ought to cause us to reflect, to say, you know what, I really don't know about today, and I really don't know about tomorrow. What about your health? You might have life, but you may not have health. What if today I should suffer a stroke? I could be in the hospital tomorrow and could be in there for a long time. Who knows? I don't know how these things will turn out. I'm glad that God does. I'm glad He's in control. But what about tomorrow? What about the rest of the day? Will I live? God knows. Will I have health to be able to do anything? God knows. Even in regard to a personal aspect of the family. Soccer game. Well, what if I'm not the one to die? What if he's the one to die? What if he's the one to be sick? What if he can't go? Then I won't be going to a soccer game, would I? Who knows about tomorrow? We really don't know. And very personal to our lives, it should cause us to reflect upon these matters and these uncertainties. Is that, well, will we live or not? Will I have the health or not? What about my family? Will they be around? Even and especially in our society over the recent years, what about the financial stability? You say, well, I'm going on vacation. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I've got it all planned. What if you lose all that money before then? I mean, it wasn't that long ago where 401ks and mutual funds and all that took 40, 50% hits. A lot of people who thought that they were set and settled for the rest of their life, all of a sudden they're looking at, man, I'm going to have to go out and get me a job. I just don't have the money anymore. What a risk is that? And so financial stability, you don't know from day to day, do you? And then let me offer a spiritual aspect here. In regard to day-to-day, what about our spiritual service? You see, it'd be easy for me to say, well, I'm Pastor Grace Memorial Baptist Church. I've been here for so long of time, and I'll continue to be here. I don't know that. I have no clue about that. You say, well, I'm following God. I read my Bible every day. I pray. I witness. I do these things. I'm this. I'm that. I serve the Lord in these capacities. Can you guarantee that you'll be doing that next year? Can you guarantee that you'll be doing that in 5 years? Do you know for certainty? We can't tell that, can we? Do we really know for sure what we will be doing in 5 years or 10 years from now, whether we'll be serving God the way we ought to or not? Do you realize that circumstances and events may come into your life in such a manner and in such order that would cause you to actually turn away from God? It's possible. It's possible. Now, I'm not trying to scare you or anything like that. I'm not trying to get you to do a bunch of ifs. But we cannot be arrogant and say, oh, well, I'll always be faithful to God. I'll always serve the Lord. I will always be in church. I will always this and that and be serving the Lord. We do not know that for sure. You know what the correct answer is? If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will, I'll be in church. If the Lord will, I'll be giving. If the Lord will, I'll serve and labor. I will be what God wants me to be. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But all these things should cause us to reflect upon the uncertainty of it. Now, that being said, As I wrap up this first point, such uncertainty should be a cause of preparation, if possible. We don't know about tomorrow. And so if you can prepare, then do prepare. If you want to go on vacation, then prepare. Get to a travel agent. Make the plans. Buy your motel reservations. Buy your plane tickets. You can prepare, but you have no guarantee you'll fulfill it. But you can prepare. It's okay. As young people, we want to retire. You can prepare for that, but I wouldn't put all your eggs in that basket. Make preparation if you can. Why? Well, we don't know about tomorrow, so we do need to have some preparation. If we can, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so uncertainty should be a cause of preparation. If possible, then such uncertainty should humble us before Almighty God. That ought to bring to your attention who you really are. You cannot guarantee the next second of your breath and your of your heart beating and your breath. You cannot guarantee that. Look how weak we are. We think we're so strong and so mighty and we can do all this stuff. It's God who enables us to do it. It's God who enables us life and health. Man, that ought to humble us. But the human being is so self-centered, you know, and we're humanistic and we're depraved and we're so arrogant. Thinking about how weak that we are and unstable as we are, and uncertain that we are, ought to cause us to be humbled before God. And then I submit unto you that such uncertainty should cause us a dependency upon God. If I ought to be humbled before God, and I ought to be, then I ought to be dependent upon God. Because who is the stable one? Who is the authority? Who is truly in control? God is. And so if I don't know about today, God certainly does. I don't know about tomorrow, but God certainly does. Who should I depend upon? I certainly can't depend upon my wit and ability because I have no guarantees. But I know one who I can depend upon, and that's God in heaven. You can depend upon your God. You can trust the Lord with your life for today, for tomorrow, for next month, for next year, and all the rest of your life until the time that He takes you to be with Him. What about tomorrow? Do you have any certainties for that? Well, there are things that we just cannot know about tomorrow. And such uncertainty should be committed to God and to the care of God. And that should cause in us a confidence and develop in us a trust of the Lord. And so we would not be fearful of worldly circumstance. In other words, as a Christian, you need to trust the Lord, depend upon Him about today, about tomorrow. I don't mean to throw out the uncertainty factor and to throw out all these questions in order for you to all of a sudden now be browbeat and always wondering, oh, what if I don't live today? What if I don't live through the night? What if I don't live about tomorrow? And you become fearful of everything. That's not how a Christian ought to be. Be aware, be humble, be dependent, but trust God. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so depend upon Him. Have a confidence in Him. And by God's grace, you shall be exactly as you ought to be. Now I want to slide into the second aspect of this message. And there are things that we don't know about tomorrow, but there are certainly some things we do know about tomorrow, some absolutes about tomorrow. And so think of it in this capacity. I'm going to ask you to look at some of these verses. We'll go through them fairly rapidly because these are just references to prove these points. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. I'll ask you to turn over there. What I'm going to offer you are some absolutes about tomorrow. Things that you don't know about today, know about tomorrow, but there are some things you can absolutely know. I'm going to give you some of these things that I believe will be helpful to you and encouraging to you, and then we'll be through. Number one, you know what I know about tomorrow? I know absolutely that the triune God will still rule and reign over the universe. I don't know whether I'll live and do this or that, but you know who I know will be? God will be. You know, over in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar understood that. And everything about this life is really under the control of God. Daniel 4:35, it says, excuse me, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? My friend, God is on His throne. He is in control. And if I live this day, or if I have health this day, or if I have finances or family or any of those things this day that are so uncertain to me, then it's only because God has graced them to me. And if I have them tomorrow, it's because God has graced them to me. If you have them, it's because of God's grace. But God doesn't fail. God doesn't change. God is on his throne. And although I don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow, he absolutely does, because he is in control. And he will always be in control. That's an absolute for tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after. God is always in control. He is not up there wringing his hands, looking down on this earth saying, oh, those people, I don't know, I've tried my best, and I just can't get them to do. God is not like that, my friend. God is a sovereign God. And I know absolutely he's sovereign today, and he'll be sovereign tomorrow. And boy, isn't that a God we can trust? Isn't that one whom we can depend upon? God is a sovereign God. Secondly, an absolute about tomorrow is that the love of God, turn to Romans chapter 8, the love of God toward his elect and or his care for the world will never, ever diminish. Romans chapter 8 tells us something about the love of God toward his people. And we read in the Gospels about how that God loves the world and loves the wicked. God blesses the just and the unjust and sends rain upon the just and the unjust. You know what? Will that ever go away? I like Romans 8. And, you know, these last two verses are tremendous, talking about the love of God. Paul writes and he says this: I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Am I, as a Christian, worried about, hey, God loves me today, tomorrow he won't? No, I don't have any fear about that. You say, but you don't know about tomorrow. No, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know this is an absolute. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whether it be death or life or any other of these things, nothing. And so I know absolutely that God is a sovereign God on his throne. I know absolutely that God loves his people, and God's love toward the world, even those who are lost, will never ever diminish, because that's who God is. But there are some other things that we know absolutely to be true, even on tomorrow. Isaiah chapter 59, I invite you to turn over there. Isaiah 59. You want another thing I know about tomorrow? This is an absolute. There are a lot of things I don't know about today or tomorrow, but I guarantee you this. I guarantee you that the sin of man will continue to separate man from God. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Notice what it says in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's true today, that's true tomorrow, and that's true next year and the year after that. For all eternity, it will always be true that the sin of man will continue to separate man from God. Therefore, dear sinner, you cannot take the risk and say, well, I know what the Bible says about being saved, and I know what it says about my sin, but you know what? I kind of think if I just hang in there, even if I go to hell for a couple thousand years or a million years, sooner or later, God will change his mind. He's not going to. This is an absolute guarantee forever that the sin of man will always separate between man and God. So if you're lost, you need to understand that, because definitely you don't know what's on today and you don't know what's on tomorrow. And if you're lost, your sins have separated you from God. You need to make preparation for tomorrow, because what if you drop dead before tomorrow? Then you'll lift up your eyes in hell and you'll be under the punishment and wrath of God for all eternity. Well, turn if you would to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. What else are some absolutes? And there are many absolutes we could list on and on and on. But these are just some practical things and spiritual things and evangelistic points that we wish to make to you. God is a sovereign God, and God's love will never change. Man's sin will always separate from God. Number 4, John chapter 3. You realize the wrath of God will still abide upon those who remain in unbelief. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And look at verse 36, John 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Dear sinner friend, that's true today. It'll be true tomorrow. It's an absolute. If you remain in unbelief, The wrath of God abides on you. He's not going to change. He's not going to alter. If you're lost, you need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you better make preparation while you have opportunity, because you never know when your time will be up. And the wrath of God will continue to abide in those who are in unbelief. And those people that are in hell, you know what? They're always going to be under judgment. They're always going to be under the wrath of God. They will not be able to get prayed out. They will not be able to get paid out. They will not be able to get out. They'll never be good enough. My friend, if you die lost, you're going to stay lost forever. Forever. That's an absolute guarantee. Things I don't know about today is true. There are things I don't know about tomorrow. But some of these things are an absolute guarantee. How do I know it? Because God says so. And so you better take heed. You better listen. Let me give you these verses. The next point I want to submit unto you, an absolute guarantee, is that the access to God the Father will always remain the Son, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. And what that means is if you're here today and you're lost, your only hope, your only access to God is through Jesus Christ. And I know that's not a popular message today. I know that's not politically correct. And I know that doesn't go with the flow of the world. But the truth is, Jesus is the only Savior. He is the only hope. And no one else will do. No other religion will do. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, apart from works. And that's it. And that's true today, and it's true tomorrow, and it will always be true. There will never come a time that God changes his mind and say, well, you know what? Not enough people are coming to heaven through Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to do is just make all roads open up, and any religion's possible, and you just believe whatever you want to believe and believe it strong enough, and I'll let you in. God will never do that. There's only one access to God the Father in heaven. It's Jesus Christ. And it's true today. It will always be true. That's an absolute, isn't it? Turn, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Look at these verses over here. Hebrews chapter 7. Then I submit unto you that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified and who rose again from the dead, shall continue to live. I am so glad for that. I believe with all my heart that God left heaven, came to earth, became a man, and his name was Jesus Christ. And Jesus lived on this earth about 33 and a half years. He lived a perfect life, never did anything wrong, but he was put to death, crucified as a sinner, though he never sinned. He was buried, he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture, and he's alive right now at the right hand of the Father. Now, Hebrews chapter 7 tells me in verse 24, but this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I don't know about me. I could die today. I could die tomorrow in a physical sense. Jesus has died, but he rose again. Will he ever die again? Never, ever. He lives forever. There'll never come a time that all of a sudden Jesus is going to just drop over and die. It will not happen, because Jesus is our only access. And the only reason I have eternal life is because he lives. Because he lives. And so he ever lives to make intercession for us. So I have no fear about being in heaven for 5 million years and all of a sudden Jesus dying. I don't have any fear about God saying, well, sorry, I changed my mind. And this doesn't work anymore. Off you go. I don't have any fear about that. You know why? Because God is a sovereign God on his throne. He'll never change. And there's a lot of things I don't know about, but there are some things I do know about. And if you're here and you're lost, you better know about them too. Because there's a preparation that needs to be made, and you need to be making it today, because you don't know about tomorrow. Does that make sense to you? And you're still there in Hebrews. Go over to chapter 9. And because Jesus lives, we live with him also. But as you look at Hebrews chapter 9, you know the salvation of souls shall continue to be by the redemptive work of the Holy Spirit through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hence, His blood that has prevailed for me will always prevail to atone for sin. In other words, salvation is by through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through the sacrifice which He has made, and it will never be any different. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Look at verse 28, same chapter. "So Christ has once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 12. "But this man," it's a reference to Jesus, "but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's true today. It will always be true. There will never be a time that God changes His mind and say, "Well, you know what? That was a time of grace and this time of the shed blood, but you know what? I want to change things up, and now you've got to earn your way, and you've got to live this, and you've got to do that, and then you can might make it into heaven." Never, ever will that happen. Jesus Christ is the only way, and it's all going to be by grace through faith in His shed blood and the provision which He has made for us. And once you're saved, you're always saved, and it will never be undone. Well, that's an absolute guarantee. You can take it to the bank. How true is that? How wonderful it is. How encouraging that is. And then if you'll go back to Acts chapter 1, and we're about finished. Acts chapter 1. "I submit unto you that there are some absolutes about tomorrow, and one of them is this, that there will be a day in which Jesus shall return to this earth in bodily form, just as when He left." I believe that. Has He come back yet? No, He hasn't come back yet. He's still alive. He is coming back. How do I know He's coming back? Because He said He's coming back. Well, you don't know if it's tomorrow or not. No, I don't know that, but He said He's coming back. Do I know that for sure? Absolutely. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. "The angel spoke to them and said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." Jesus left earth. He's coming back again. He said in John chapter 14, verse 3, listen, He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." See that? Acts chapter 17, my last point is this. "I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that come what may, and despite all uncertainty and doubt of things of this life, I know that Jesus Christ will one day come to earth again, just as He said." Now the last thing is this. We can absolutely be assured that God will judge the hearts of men. Acts 17. I read in verse 31. It says that God commanded all men everywhere to repent in verse 30. "Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised him from the dead." And what that means is there's an absolute guarantee that somewhere out there in time, God is going to judge this world. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. God will judge the world in righteousness. Will He ever change His mind about that? Will He ever back up and say, "Well, things happened and I wasn't prepared, and so we're going to do it differently"? No, sir. We don't know about today and we don't know about tomorrow, but there are some things we have absolute guarantee of, and this is another one of them. It's the fact that God will absolutely judge the hearts of men, and He will judge the world in righteousness. These last verses, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, these things are true. They will come to pass at some point in the future. And you had better be ready. Revelation 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you see that, my friend? Absolutely. Guaranteed. They can't predict the weather. They think there's going to be thunderstorms tonight. Well, you don't know for sure. There's a 40% chance or whatever. But you know what? I can guarantee 100% that lost people will stand before the great white throne of God and be judged and will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And if you're lost, that means you right now. That's why you better make preparation. Well, what can we know about tomorrow? There are things that we don't know about tomorrow, but then there are some absolutes we do know. And it's because God's revealed them to us. So in conclusion, let me say unto you that what we do know about tomorrow greatly outshines what we do not know. There's a lot we don't know, but boy, what we do know really surpasses it all, doesn't it? Therefore, our main preparation for the future should be based upon the certainties of tomorrow. You know what? You ought not spend all your time trying to figure out the uncertainties for tomorrow, but you ought to know the certainties and say, am I ready for that? Am I prepared for that? You're here and you're lost. You're not prepared. You need to know these things are true and you're going to be judged. You might die before you have opportunity. I'll tell you, you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then that leads me to say that the uncertainties of tomorrow should cause us to be more responsible in those areas today. In other words, all these absolutes that we stated today, they're absolute. They're going to come to pass. But you don't know about today and you don't know about tomorrow. Therefore, preparation is today. You need to be ready today. You need to be responsible today. So the uncertainties for tomorrow should indeed cause us to prepare for tomorrow and for the rest of the day. Listen to these verses and I'm done. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 4:7, the last part of the verse says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And when should you do that? You best do it today. Because you might not live the rest of this day. You might not live till tomorrow. And as you witness the lost people, sometimes they'll say, well, I know what you're saying, but I'm just not ready yet. You're taking a big chance, lost friend, because you don't know. You have that time. I've had people tell me that they were going to make a deathbed profession. And I'd say, how do you know you're going to have a deathbed? Lots of people don't have deathbeds. They're gone like that. You better be ready today. A lot of uncertainties about today and tomorrow, but there are a lot of certainties. God's revealed them to us. And that uncertainty ought to cause us to be prepared for the certainties. You get the drift? Lost friend, you need to be saved. Christian, you need to rely upon the Lord. Trust him day by day with your life and with your service. And may God grant grace to rest upon each of us to do that very thing. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this. We meant to cause you to be reflective upon the uncertainty of life and the questions that arise so that we would not become arrogant and self-sufficient, but wholly dependent upon God. And as Christians, we need that day by day. And if you're lost, you need to realize, man, God is your only hope. And so, dear sinner friend, we point you to Jesus, the mighty, to save that you might be saved before it is eternally too late. Would you trust him today? Would you be saved? Father in heaven, we commit these things to you today. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you for the truth that you've revealed to us. We pray for the sinner that they might see their need and see their desperate situation because they may not live the rest of the day. And God, we pray that you would move in their heart, convict them of their sin, and draw them to Jesus that they might be saved. And may we who are saved live for you, love you, and serve you as you give us opportunity and grace and mercy. We commit it to you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?